here with you this morning. You'll notice as when I preach, I just walk around a bit, and sometimes that means that I get lost in my notes. So if I have to pause, then that's why. One of the things I love about talking in this topic, oh, the clicker. Here we go. Is that right? No. I am slightly technologically challenged. All right, while we sort that out, one of the things I love about this passage is that it actually talks about the fact that all of us get to play. Thank you. Ephesians 4 passage where it talks about God gives gifts to the church. He gives us pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists. And that's not just for some special people or people who are appointed to certain positions. It's actually for all of us. He gives each one of us his apportioned gifts. And so in this room today, we'll have people who have a heart to share God's good news with others, our evangelists. We have people who have this amazing ability to explain complex situations or information, our teachers. We have people who have hearts to care for each other, our shepherds or pastors. We have people who just seem to know what God's heart is for a situation and hears and responds, our prophets. And we have people who, when you wake up in the morning, you see new opportunities everywhere. They're our apostles. So when we hear this passage talk about to each one God has apportioned gifts, it actually says to all of us that we get to play in the kingdom. God has a role and responsibility and opportunity. So I don't know if any of you here like AFL. We won't ask you what teams you follow because, you know, we're in the off season, so we can just let it go. And yeah, no, we'll avoid that rabbit hole. But in the AFL, you've got the 18 teams and you only have a certain number of players that ever get to play the elite level. I don't know, anyone here get to play in an AFL team? No. But everyone, if you go down on a Saturday morning, can play Auskick. Any one of us, good or bad, can kick a ball around. So Auskick's like the thing for everyone. So we can't all play elite level AFL, but we can all play Auskick. We can all have a kick of the footy. We can all play. Because God needs every single one of us to be working together to bring about what he wants to see happen. And so chapter 1 in Ephesians verse 10 really gives us a really clear idea about why he's gifted the church in this way. So verse 10, the Wanstall paraphrase says, he gives us to bring heaven and earth together, to bring unity between heaven and earth. So that's a pretty big task to see earth, his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a pretty big task, and hence why we need one another. But today I want us to just look at particularly recognizing and responding to God's voice. So this sense of God speaking to us as he works in us and through us. So just like we have particular ways that we're gifted, there are people in the room who, when you're praying or when you're going through life, you'll have a particularly strong sense of God speaking to you, of his presence with you. But all of us can hear God's voice. So the way that we start is that God has a voice, and I loved how Andrew started us today. God has a voice, he uses it, and we can all hear him. So when we think about the fivefold gifting, we don't just go, oh, well, I'm not a prophet, so I can't hear God. He actually wants us to know all five. So if I'm particularly gifted as a pastor or a shepherd, I still need to know how to explain truth to people like a teacher. I still need to see new opportunities like an apostle. I need to hear God's voice to know who I should care for like a prophet. And I need to, what have I got left? Share good news like an evangelist. So we need to be able to operate in all five. And so today we're going to look at particularly this sense of some of us might be gifted, but what about for the rest of us? Because it seems like we struggle to hear God's voice at times. So I want us to start with this sense of God does speak to us. And we start with John 10 as well. So we've read Ephesians 4. All of us have a role and a place in the kingdom. But John 10 talks particularly, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away for him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Wouldn't it be amazing if each one of us, every day that we wake up, have a clear sense of God's voice in our life? What God's wanting us to do. Because in this passage, four times, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Four times he references this sense of we can hear him. He leads us out. He speaks to us. And we see time and time again in New Testament, particularly in Acts, Paul. Acts 16, there's this amazing passage where Paul is ministering and he attempts to speak out something and the Spirit of Jesus stops him. So it talks about Paul and his companions travel through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. It goes on. They attempted to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit would not allow them. Then a verse later, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. The next day, Paul got up, told them they were hopping on a ship and they went off to Macedonia and the gospel got spread. Like, what would that be like for us each and every day to know such clear presence of God with us and to hear his voice in such a clear way that it directed our path and our ministry and what God is wanting us to do each and every day? Where I started, God has a voice, he uses it, and we can hear him. So I absolutely believe that each one of us can recognize and respond to God's voice. Not in some kooky, weird, strange way, but actually it's just about all of us in our ordinary, everyday lives recognizing how God speaks to us. I prefer to think of it as being naturally supernatural. You know, I much prefer to be natural in who God created me to be and recognize the Spirit of God working in me and through me each and every day. So we are ordinary people, but we have an extraordinary God, and God has given the church this extraordinary gift of prophecy. So looking at it from this sense of being naturally supernatural, and the thing about prophecy is about being a normal person. And it's about being someone that God can work through, in and through. So God speaks to me for me and speaks to me for others, that we can all have that sense in our lives. So I really encourage you, there'll be people in the room who go, oh yeah, I hear God really easily. Let's move on. And there'll be people in the room who will say, actually, I don't know that I could recognize God ever speaking to me. So I recognize in this place that there's a whole range of experience, and with it comes a whole range of emotions that sit alongside. For some of you, you'll be sitting here saying, I've never heard God speak to me in my 74 years of life. For some of you, you will say, it's like my breath that comes in and out is a sense of God's presence with me. And so if you think that you've never heard God, all that I ask from you today is that you open your hearts to be available. Just ask God and say, I'm available to whatever you want to do in my life today. Because he desires us to learn how. So hearing God is not something that we suddenly wake up and go, oh, I can hear God. It's actually a skill that we learn, like driving a car. I don't know about you, but most of us didn't hop in a car and learn to drive straight away. When my son turned 16, he hopped in the car on his 16th birthday after he got his learner's license. I was the one to take him out first. We got around the block about 15 minutes in. As he was accelerating towards a power pole, I screamed, stop! I turned to him and said, I'm really sorry, son, I can't do this anymore. Get out. And I said, it's fine. We'll go home. We'll have dinner. Your father will take you out after. It'll all be fine. And whatever David did as an incredibly gifted teacher, explained to Matthew how to drive a manual in a way that I never could. But it was a process for Matthew of learning to drive. And hearing and recognizing God's voice is exactly the same. It's a skill that we can learn and grow in like a muscle, that when we go to the gym and do exercise, we get stronger. That's what they tell me. And so hearing and recognizing and responding to God's voice is exactly like that. So what I want us to look at today is actually, where do we start? How do we start this process of recognizing God's voice? We have to start with covenant identity. And I loved Andrew brought us beautifully into that place. So a lot of us, when we think about this, we start with, okay, God, speak to me. But actually, where we need to start is covenant identity, because God loves us and calls us and invites us into this deep, radical covenant with him, where all that we have is his, but all that he has is ours. The resources of heaven is open to us. So we are children of the perfect heavenly Father, and we know God as our Father. As close, as intimate, as a relationship. Now, for some of us, our earthly fathers have not been fantastic, so it can be a challenge to get over that. But we need to realize that he is our perfect heavenly Father. Hearing God is actually about who we are, not what we do. And so we hear God out of the generosity of God's heart, because he loves us. Not because we've done anything super spiritual, but because he loves us. So we start from the place that he loves us and he wants to speak to us. We can't earn the right to hear his voice. It's not something we achieve through hard work, but we can learn to recognize God's voice better. Knowing our identity as deeply loved children releases us to hear God, because it's not about whether we pass or fail. It's actually just about being open to recognize God's work that's already happening in our life. And it flows out of relationship with God. So we have to start with the fact that hearing God or prophecy is relational, it's not functional. Because often we think about hearing God from a functional place. God, what should I do now? God, help me with. God, show me what to do. But actually, we need to start from a relational place. God, how do you see me? God, show me how much you love me. I woke up one morning. a couple of years ago when God was doing some really deep work with me about identity, about this whole thing of relationship with Him. And I woke up with that song, Isn't She Lovely? I don't know if you... I'm not going to sing it. Yeah. And it was written by Stevie Wonder when over his baby. And so I lay in bed going, oh, that's a really cool song. I like that song. And then this thought popped in my head, what if God is singing that over me? Isn't she lovely? All right, I sung a little bit. And I lay there going, you know what, I'm going to take that. Because I think He is. He thinks I'm lovely. Just like He thinks every one of you are lovely. And so the deep sense of relationship that God has with us is exactly that. He thinks we're lovely. So we can rest in that knowledge to then go, well, God, what else do you want to say to me? It's not about Him wanting to speak punishment into our life. It's not about Him wanting to condemn us. And if we feel condemned, then that's not God. He wants to encourage us, to build us up, to strengthen us. So when we think about the gift of prophecy, at its core, a simple definition is hearing God speak and repeating what He says. Prophecy is about communicating the heart, the mind, and the purpose of God. Now, often we talk about, you know, I've done lots of workshop on hearing God's voice, and people often say, well, Christine, you know, the Old Testament, they were really condemning. And can't we do that? Can't we bring judgment? You know, people are doing the wrong thing. We need to tell them they're doing the wrong thing. I go, no, it's actually God brought Jesus. So we want a New Testament model of prophecy in that Jesus is reconciling us to God. And so it's about communicating the heart and the mind and purpose of God, the love that He has for people, the purpose that He's placed in each one of us. It's about speaking to our past, our present, and our future. And oftentimes when we think about prophecy, we think about it being, well, what's next, God? What do you want to say to us about the future, about who we've got in front of us, or what's in front of us, or what our church should be doing? But God wants to speak equally into our past and our present to help us understand what He's saying to us, what our current circumstances are about, to bring healing into our past. I was praying with one of our people at church, a woman called Rosie. Now, Rosie knows that I share this story because she loves it as much as I do. So she's given me permission to share. I was praying with Rosie one day and I said to her, I've got this weird picture. It's like a waterfall of presence. God is pouring over you, these beautifully wrapped presents. He's just pouring over you this waterfall of presence. And He wants you to know that it's a never-ending waterfall. It will never run dry. And she just lost it. She burst into tears. And what she then told me afterwards was when she was 7 years old, on her seventh birthday, her parents gave her presents and she unwrapped them. And then they said to her, because you haven't been good enough this year, you need to give your birthday presents to your siblings. And so when God gave her this incredible picture of this never-ending waterfall of birthday presents, it almost instantly healed something in her of her past. Now, I didn't know that. God knew that, and God knew what she needed in that place. And so God is wanting to speak into our past. He's wanting to speak into our present. One of the amazing things about Rosie is that that image not only was helpful for that moment, but when she's praying with people now, she says to me, it's so exciting. All I have to do is go to this waterfall, grab a present and unwrap it and give it to someone else. And God is just using her to pray for people. And she has stewarded, so we talked about learning and to hear God's voice. 5 years ago, she started this journey of recognizing God's voice in her life. And she would come back to me saying, oh, I was listening for a word for someone. It took me an hour and a half. And she would say now, well, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. She goes, it's so exciting. I can hear God like in 30 seconds. I can recognise what he's wanting to say to me. So she has really worked hard at stewarding and learning to recognise God's voice in that place. So it speaks to the specifics. So prophecy will not replace scripture. So I want to say that the Bible will always carry greater authority because the very nature of prophecy means that we are fallible human beings and we don't always get it 100% right. So scripture will always have a greater authority around it. However, prophecy speaks to our current, the specific time, place, people. Scripture is not going to tell me what job to get. It's not going to tell me who to marry. Unless God gives me a bit. No, I'm already married. But it's not going to speak into the specifics like that picture did for Rosie. But so that's where prophecy sits alongside scripture. The gift of prophecy, let's just whip through some of this. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not treat prophecies with contempt. 1 Corinthians 14, follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. So scripture-wise, there are amazing sense of God wanting us to eagerly desire his voice, wanting us to eagerly seek after his voice within us. There are different ways that we actually can recognize we hear God's voice. Now, I do want to say that the Holy Spirit is the most creative person in the universe. And the Holy Spirit can speak to us in any multitude of ways. And our personalities actually also impact how we hear God. So I want to encourage you that just because you hear someone, one person say, this is how I recognize God's voice, that may not be how you recognize God's voice in your life. So what are these ways? Because there are key questions. How does God speak to us and what does his voice actually sound like? And actually, how can we distinguish his voice from our own thoughts? Really common questions. Scripture. So by this I mean the Holy Spirit impressing on you a particular verse or passage. I don't know about you, but when I read scripture, sometimes something just jumps out. It's like, wow, I didn't see that before. For the day and for the time, that was a really key scripture for us. Oh, someone's not happy. Was it something I said? They're responding to God's voice. Or maybe when you're praying with someone, a scripture verse pops in your head. I don't know if that's happened to you. So scripture is one of the ways that we can actually hear God's voice. Hearing. So when we're talking about hearing, we're talking about God speaking directly into our heart. So it might be an inner voice, either in the form of thoughts popping into our head, words or sentences coming to mind, as though someone is talking directly into our minds. Like it's hearing a thought or a voice. There's still small voice within, the God thought. Words that resonate in your mind. And for some, they do hear an audible voice. Now, that's never happened to me. But most of the time, God actually speaks to us in whispers. And one of the reasons that I think he speaks to us in whispers is that he wants us to lean in, to come closer to him, to actually to hear what he wants us to say. And the thing of hearing Actually, any of these revelations often requires us to quieten the thoughts that are going on in our head. And so that sense of stilling our mind to then allow God to speak to us is critical. Seeing. So these, as I described around Rosie, seeing I had a picture for her, these might be inner pictures or pictures that come to mind when we're praying. It might be, they might be moving pictures or a still, like a painting. Some people describe what that would term an open-eyed vision, as though they're part of the scene. Again, that hasn't happened to me, but I, when I'm praying with people, will often have an image or a picture that comes to mind that as I start to talk about it will evolve and grow, that God uses that to speak something specific to people. My advice around prophetic pictures is to not be too analytical about them. They're simply a conversation with us and God. So if you have a picture of a hand, for instance, often what I do when I have pictures that I'll just say, oh, what, you know, is there anything interesting about that? Or God, what's the meaning of the hand? And in a minute, we'll go through some of the processing. Sensing. So sensing would come things like discernment, intuition, burdens, impressions. If you're into the castle, it's the vibe. You know, sometimes there's just a knowing that comes for us. In this, we would put words of knowledge. So that sense of just a knowing that comes. An example, I was working as part of a team in Christchurch a couple of years ago. And as I flew into Christchurch, I suddenly got this overwhelming sense of grief. And I went, oh, are we going to crash? No, we're not going to crash. And so I, at least some of the training kicked in. I went, God, is this from you? And then this real deep impression about Christchurch has been through the earthquake, people have left the city because of the earthquake, and then this incredibly clear thought, the people you are going to minister to feel like I have left them too. And so when I landed and we met with the other team members, I explained to them what had happened and they went, oh, that is a really, we feel like that really is a word from God. So I shared it with the conference that we were part of and we saw significant healing from God in that space. So that sense of sensing, that sometimes we can sense things and we need to just pause to work out why. What's going on within us that means that we're feeling that way? Lastly, it's dreams. So scripture talks a lot about dreams. And I want to say that most dreams that we have are not prophetic. It's just our brains processing information. 95% of dreams are not prophetic. But when they are, the small dreams that stay with us, like a bit of a grit or sand in our shoe, stone in our shoe, they're the ones that we also need to go back and God and process. I really encourage you, don't grab the dream interpretation books. If you want to get an interpretation about a dream, go back to God. He's the one that's given it to you. He'll give you the interpretation with it. So ask him about it or gather some people around to pray. So the characteristics of God's voice. How do we actually discern if it's God speaking to us rather than our own thoughts? So often revelation from God is spontaneous, where most of my thoughts are logical and sequential. So what I've learned to recognize is when a thought pops into my head that seems to be from left field, I pause to work out what it's about. So early on, it were things like, you should call Helen. Oh, Helen. Oh, what's about Helen? Is there a Helen here? No. You should call Helen. So I'd ring up Helen and she'd go, oh, you're not, it's amazing that you've called right now. like I'm having the worst day or there was something particular. I was sitting at work one day, actually, my friend Judy, she just had a baby and this thought popped into my head, you should go visit Judy. I went, oh, but it's 11 in the morning, I'm actually at work. And then the next thought popped in, it's just two blocks up the road, the hospital, why don't you go visit Judy? I'm going, well, I don't even know if it's visiting hours. So, you know, I've learned to recognise if I start arguing with my thoughts, it's often God. And so I then went to visit Judy and surprise, surprise, I walked in as a friend of hers was walking out. I said to Judy, hey, Judy, how's your baby? And she burst into tears. He's really unwell. They're just about to take him to special care nursery. Without thinking, I said, can I pray? And she went, would you? And so I just prayed God's healing and protection over her and his peace to rest on her. I said, amen. Another friend walked in the door and I left. And as I walked out, I went, oh, I think that was God. Because it's often only in hindsight that we recognize as we respond to some of these promptings that God is at work in our life and is working in us and through us. Now, years later, Judy actually sat me down and said, somewhere in my house, I've lost it, but I have a present for you. She never found it. But somewhere in my house, I have a present for you because you will have no idea how significant that visit was for me. And so that's when I go, I want to be like that all the time. Like I want to see the God moments happen every day. And so when we recognise the spontaneous thoughts that come, we can then start responding to them. Revelation from God often has a special quality to it. Content might be unexpected or a little bit unusual. It will be full of love and wisdom, and its tone will reflect the nature and character of our Heavenly Father. So when I hear God speak to me, I'm often surprised because his revelation is more radical, more pure, more profound than I could ever think. Often it comes with a special resonance, like the spirit-to-spirit connection. So does my heart tell me that it is a word from God? Does it resonate within my soul? As I said before, God is never going to condemn me. He sometimes convicts, but he won't condemn. And so if the word has a gentle yet strong presence or resonance, then I know it's from God. So a year or so ago, I was doing what I term a listening exercise. So I was just asking God for words to learn how to recognize his voice better. So I just, on this particular occasion, I just said to God, Lord, what scripture do you want me to pay attention to today? So James 4 came to mind. Now, I know that James talks a lot about the tongue. I think it's James 4, talks about the taming of the tongue. So I had this conversation with God where I said, well, God, I'm actually quite careful about what I say out loud. You might not think of that during my sermon, but most of the time I am careful about what I say. And the thought that came back immediately was, it's not your external voice I want to deal with, it's your internal voice. It's your internal tongue. And I just sat there going, oh! Because I recognised the thought patterns that would go around in my head. The really unhelpful negative patterns that were there that God wanted to deal with in my life. And so the resonance of that word, it's not your external tongue I'm talking about, it's your internal one, just resonated so deeply within me. It needs to be consistent with Scripture. So if you have a prophetic word that is not consistent with the principles and the tone of Scripture, then that's how we process and go, maybe it may not be a word from God. Draws us closer to God. So prophetic words or God's voice will always want to draw us closer to God. So if you have voices going around in your head saying you're hopeless, you're not going to achieve anything, I can bet your bottom dollar that that's not God telling you that. So God will always want to draw us closer to him. And it always brings life. So John 6:63, the words I have spoken to you are life. So the best way for us to work out how to hear God and respond to God's voice is just to practice. Now, there are three elements to prophecy that I want us to focus on just in the last... What time do you normally finish? Whenever, he says. There's an invitation that maybe you shouldn't have said. So when we think about these three elements to hearing God, this is really helpful for us to operate safely in it. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to pray for someone and then think, oh, is this going to damage them? Like, I want to speak words of life. Because some of you may have experienced prophecy in a really unhelpful way in the past. Like people praying over you and speaking words into your life that may not have come from God, but seem to be quite controlling. So when we think about prophecy, there are three elements to how we practice it or operate in it. The first one is revelation. So what is God saying to us? So it's like the raw data, the download of data that God gives us. The second element that when we get this raw download of data is, what does it mean? So with that scripture you saw before around James 4, when I got that scripture, I'm like, well, the raw data is James 4. What does it mean? So that's when I started to go, what's James 4 about? Isn't that about taming the tongue? But God, I think my tongue's, you know, what I say out loud, it's quite careful. And then it's not your external, it's your internal. So what does it mean? God's wanting to deal with my internal tongue. What do I need to do about it as the application? Well, I need to start taking captive the thoughts that are going around in my head. I need to actually deal with the internal voice. So I've got these three elements: revelation, interpretation, and application. Now, if I'm praying with someone else, when I'm praying with myself, for myself, I can do all three. If I'm praying with someone else, however, we need to actually recognize the role that we have and step back from the places that we shouldn't have when we're praying with someone else. So if I'm praying with Andrew, I might have a picture for Andrew, and then I might have a sense about what that means. So I've got the revelation, I speak that out to Andrew, and then I help between us, we can sort of process what does that actually mean, so the interpretation of it. But what the application is needs to sit with Andrew, not with me. So if I have an image for Andrew, like Rosie, we had the picture of the presence, the way that that applied in her life went way beyond what I thought it would. I just thought God was wanting to bless her. And so if the application sat with me and I was telling her how to apply that word, it would never have brought the healing that God brought in her life. So we need to step out of the way for God to help the other person work out what the application is about. Does that make sense? All right. I'm actually going to get us to pause because I actually want us to do an example. Don't freak out. It's all cool. I'm actually going to ask Andrew to volunteer for me, unless there is someone else who wants to volunteer in this space. Andrew's readying himself. Come on up, Andrew. So what I want us to do...
You all jumped up.
Yeah, that's right. They all volunteered. I'm much rather this side than answering the questions, I have to say. So what I want us to do is actually practice these three things with Andrew, if that's okay.
Sure.
And so we are going to pray. Now, I'm going to be the only one who speaks out revelation, but I want you to ask God for a word of encouragement, comfort, or strength for Andrew. And if you've got some paper and a pen, really encourage you, or a phone with Andrew's text number in it. I really encourage you to write it down and hand it on to Andrew afterwards. But I'm just going to be the one to actually speak it out with Andrew, if that's okay. Do you all get what I mean? So we all get to listen and ask God for a word of encouragement, comfort and strength. Remember, that's what we're aiming for. When we pray for people, we're not aiming to condemn them. We're just aiming to encourage and comfort and strengthen them. And so I'm going to speak that out, and then I'll have a conversation with Andrew about what that might look like. Is that all right?
Of course it's okay.
I know. So I just thought I'd appear to be
inclusive. Come on.
All right.
We've done this a bit.
Yeah, we've done this before. All right. So I just want you to come, just maybe sit with your eyes closed, maybe put your hands out, face up, as though you're receiving from God. Father, I just thank you that you do speak to us each and every day. So, Lord, right now, just release prophetic words for Andrew now. So we're just going to sit in silence for a short time. If you have a word or a picture, just write that down. The image that I got, Andrew, was of you with a bunch of sheets, like A4 paper, and on it was words, but you were handing it out to people, but actually on each piece of paper were different words. It was like it wasn't just a general, you know, flyer handout. It actually was quite specific to the people that you were handing it to. And there was also another element to the picture of you actually going around, I'm really sorry, but to people in the church and grabbing them by the hand and saying, here's some flyers for you to hand out, or for them to hand out. And so, so the picture is about you with paper wanting to hand them out. Does any of that resonate, or anything speak to you about that?
So for those who don't know, I'm doing my pastoral review at the moment. Part of what the BUV helps us with, just plug the BUV, why not? And one of the things it asks you is, what's your ministry about? And one of mine is trying to empower people, and that's the whole point. So put it bluntly, there's no point having a dog and barking yourself. So my role is to encourage you with your gifts. So that would be handing things out so you can go do things.
So you can see there we've got revelation. So my picture, Andrew's processing what that might mean. And then with the application, there's probably space for a couple of questions in that. Is there particular things where you feel like it's a struggle to hand the paper out, or blocks or barriers in that space? Or are there challenges? Or
I think if you're going to have a pastor and you're going to pray and appoint a pastor, and the pastor comes and says, I think you could do this, you probably want to trust that I've thought about it before coming talking to you. And so I haven't actually experienced it in this congregation, but I have at times had people go, no, I can't do that. I guarantee you, when I ask you, I think you can, because otherwise I wouldn't bother asking. So, I just say, if I come and ask you, try and take it seriously that there's consideration gone into it, not you're the first person I just happened to walk in the door on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And whoever's sending texts, thank you. I'm glad I turned it onto silent. There we go.
Thanks, Andrew. Let's give him a hand. So it's a really, so that's just an example of the of how the process works in hearing God. So we get the revelation, we ask God for the raw data. And to be honest, people often say to me, well, how do I know it's God and not me? Sometimes you just need to step out. And if it's encouragement, if it's strengthening, if it's comfort, it's not going to hurt someone. If you're going to tell them to go to Africa, you might want to pray about that just a little bit more. And so I've learned over the years, if God is just giving a picture that actually seems incredibly encouraging, I'll just speak it out. Because I also recognise that the application doesn't rest on me. And I come back to where I started today, that my identity in God is not dependent on my success in prophetic words. So God loves me whether I get it right or not. Now, my children will tell you I get it wrong often. I don't think it's as often as they think it is, but my identity as a deeply loved child of God is not dependent on how well I do at prophetic words. Hence why we started with covenant. I don't hear God because I'm super spiritual or because I'm something special. I hear God because he loves me. Because he is this incredibly generous, gracious God who deeply desires deeper relationship with me each and every day. And so we hear God, and if I have that sense of God speaking to me, why wouldn't I give it out to others? Why wouldn't I want others to experience that as well? So we often, we get in the way of God using us to speak to others because we process it too much. We think, oh, that can't be God. Well, I just really encourage you to keep handing out, like Rosie does, the presence that God gives us. And so just in the final bit that we'll talk about is just around what does prophecy bring into the church? It brings focus and clarity. It helps people see their identity and how God loves them. It brings encouragement, comfort, and strength to each other. It gives us missional insight. You know, if I don't have a lot of time and I know that God wants me to meet my neighbours, I want to ask God which one of them does he want me to meet. If I don't have a lot of resources, then I'm going to want to ask God, what does he want me to spend my resources on? So that it has the best impact. So missional insight brings revelation to people. So for Rosie, it brought this amazing revelation. For me, God reveals stuff all the time about how he loves me, how he wants me to grow in my faith, like that internal tongue thing. It helps church leadership, believe it or not, with strategic input. If we can understand where God wants us to go as a church, just like our missional insight and missional impact, then God, that sense of God's voice of drawing us into certain spaces and places. What is God saying to us? And in our local streets and neighbourhood, as we're walking around praying, don't just go, well, God bless everyone. As you're walking around your local streets, ask God, who is it that he wants you to meet? God, bless this household. Lord, what is it about this household that you want to bless? How do you want to bless them? As I was walking around my Chadston neighbourhood, God gave me this image that was incredibly helpful of his spirit flowing down the streets. And so I said to him, how's that going to help me? With an image of your river, a river of your spirit flowing down our streets. And he said, I just want you to look for where the gates are open and the spirit's flowing in. And so there were some households where it wasn't, and there were other houses where it was flowing in. And so as I would walk past those houses, I would just be praying for a continued presence of God and a sense of how he wants me to meet them. So Jesus we have as a perfect prophet. So he's prophetic in his pronouncement. He prophesies his future, he fulfills Old Testament prophecies, and he speaks specific words into our lives. So if I haven't convinced you up to now, then Jesus is our ideal role model to actually recognize of how he speaks into our lives. And so if you are sitting here today wondering, am I particularly gifted as a prophet? Maybe God has given me the gift of prophecy or being a prophet. So when we started Ephesians 4, prophets just find it easy to hear God. It just almost flows out of us. And so we enjoy being alone with God. We love praying and interceding, and we love worship. We love waiting on listening to God. We see new opportunities. We love encouraging and comforting and strengthening people, and we love seeing wrongs righted. So that sense of God working in our life, if some of today has resonated for you, I really encourage you to chat to Andrew about how to grow and nurture that gift for you today. If you've got any questions, love to have a continued conversation with you about it. If you want, I'm going to hang around after the service, and I'd love to have the opportunity to pray with any of you if you would like me to. But let me just finish by praying for us all. Father, thank you that when we pause and when we still our hearts and our minds, that you speak to us. So, Father, I just pray for Altona Baptist, Lord, that there would be an inflowing of your presence in this place. Father, that people would have a clear sense that they stand on the solid rock of your presence with them. That their faith is not shaky, but their faith is solid and can withstand many, many storms. And so, Father, bless this church with a renewed sense of your presence and a renewed clarity to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.